Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week here on the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. Most days you can catch a replay at 3 o'clock on the Big X, 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM. I know a lot of people from locally, maybe at work, and then others outside of our immediate area. You can stream the program at BigXSportsRadio.com. You can listen in the TuneIn app. There's all sorts of ways to catch us live. And then, of course, there's a podcast. We're on SoundCloud. We're also on Apple Podcast. You can subscribe that way and get our program delivered to you each afternoon around 12:30, 1 o'clock or so. It's available. And glad you're with us. It doesn't matter how you're with us. We're glad you're here. And there's a lot to talk to you. Last week, for a week that's really in the middle of the summer when school's getting back in session at the local high schools and elementary schools in the area, it's kind of everybody's busy and into other things. And we know football's getting close, but basketball is still a ways away. But last week was busy. There were a lot of recruiting developments for some local players, some in-state guys, and of course for Indiana, getting a commitment from Anthony Leal on Friday. We now know the 2020 class, at least the first two members of that class. The question now is who's going to be next? Obviously, Indiana very likely going to add multiple players still in the 2020 class. Who will those guys be? We'll talk about some of that today. But Anthony Leal joins the fold for Indiana as a verbal commit now, joining Trey Galloway, who was the first commit a couple Fridays ago. Fridays have been a big day for IU recruiting here over the last month. Trey Galloway, two Fridays earlier, committed in the afternoon, and then Anthony Leal around 4:30 or so this past Friday tweeted out an image. It's got him dribbling in front of a big IU logo, and the title across the top in red outlined in white says committed. It says, "I am forever grateful that God has blessed me with the opportunity to play this game surrounded by the support of those closest to me. Without the grace of God and the support of my family and friends, I wouldn't be able to say I've accomplished my childhood dream. I'd like to thank every school that believed in my abilities and trusted me to represent them on and off the court. Thank you to my Indiana Elite and Bloomington South families for giving me every possible opportunity to excel at the game I love. Thank you to Coach Miller and his staff for investing in me and giving me the chance to live my childhood dream of being a Hoosier. Finally, I am excited to say that I will be staying home and attending Indiana University. Hashtag Hoosier Nation." So Anthony Leal, that was how he made his announcement public on social media, on Twitter, and on Instagram as well, and obviously becomes a big addition for the 2020 class. So far, with Galloway and Leal, I don't know that you can say that either of those guys are now or will ever be at the level of a Romeo Langford coming out of high school, obviously, and maybe not even at the level of Trace Jackson Davis, a McDonald's All-American, both Langford and Davis were. But this is the beginning of a solid class. You'd like to see some additional guys get added, obviously, and I think that will happen. But what this to me is Archie Miller, and we've heard a couple guests recently talk about this. These are some commitments you can get old with that will be around for likely 4 years of college basketball unless something unforeseen happens. But these are players that you can count on whether they contribute at all in their freshman year, Galloway and Leal. They are guys that you could see down the road in the middle to latter part of their careers playing big roles as Hoosiers. Who knows how they develop this year, how they develop in the year between high school and their freshman year at Bloomington. There's a lot that can change. There's a lot of development. There's on and off the court with bodies and basketball skills, obviously, as well. But it's going to be interesting to see because these guys here are guys that you're likely going to see around, as with others that have committed outside of Romeo and maybe Trace Jackson Davis, and potentially maybe one or two, but you're going to see Indiana get old with some of these guys. It's a phrase that I like, and it's something that college basketball coaches are desperately trying to figure out how to do, to mix that young talent that maybe is a one-and-done along with guys that are going to be there for the duration of their career. And, of course, a lot of this could change if one-and-dones are really no longer as predominant with the NBA or straight to the NBA being something that is allowed coming up here over the next season or two. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll start with a look, and Alex Bozich at Inside the Hall has it all summarized for you. But I want to mention it on the show about Indiana's dominance in the state of Indiana since Archie Miller has been there as far as recruiting goes. I want to break it down for you with national rankings and who Indiana got and who Indiana missed in some of these recruiting classes, but a very impressive record, we could call it, so far for Archie Miller in-state. We'll talk about that in just a second. Also, another 2020 player has a visit, an official visit set for Indiana later this month, and a couple little Romeo Langford nuggets as well, all coming up here in segment one, our Hoosier headlines. Later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us, and I think Zach again today will join us from the IU football practice, so we'll catch up with him not only with some football items but basketball as well. We'll talk Anthony Leal, what he thinks his commitment to the program means, and where Indiana turns next in recruiting as far as the 2020 class goes. Later in the show, Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad's the athletic director at Charlestown High School, also an IHSA executive board member representing Southern Indiana. High school football is almost here. A lot of schools had intra-squad scrimmages on Friday night. Some or all, I believe, will have actual scrimmage, controlled scrimmage this Friday night, and we are literally under 2 weeks away from the start of high school football for 2019, and of course, all sorts of coverage coming your way here on the Big X Sports Radio that we'll be telling you about coming up a little bit later. In fact, here in just a moment, I've got a little bit of an announcement, something that we're really excited about at the Big X to tell you about, so stay with us for that. So a lot coming today. Chad Gilbert, we'll talk football scrimmages. We'll talk some other things about Anthony Leal and IU, all coming up in his segment later in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's look into some Hoosier headlines, how we start the show each day, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I've talked a lot about the Leal commitment. That leads us to our first headline. Archie Miller has really been dominant. If there's one thing you had to give him, wanted to give him an A on so far, maybe even an A plus, maybe an A plus in his job so far as the head man at IU basketball, it's got to be recruiting and it's got to be in-state recruiting. We always throw this out, at least I do, and I know most people do. Indiana's been dominant in the state. What exactly does that mean? When you look at the players in the state of Indiana since Archie Miller has been the coach at Indiana. And Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, I'm lifting a lot of this straight from a story where he pulled all the research and details together. So make sure you give him a visit, insidethehall.com, and read this story. But in the 2018, 2019, and 2020 recruiting classes from the state of Indiana, Alex writes that there have been 15 Indiana natives in the top 200 of the 24/7 composite player rankings. Indiana, of those 15 that have been listed from those three classes, has landed seven of those prospects. 18 class, obviously Romeo Langford, Demise Anderson, Rob Finnessy, the three in-state guys that made up the 2018 class headlined by Romeo for IU. Who did Indiana miss out on that year? Aaron Henry of Ben Davis, who went to Michigan State. Indiana really didn't get involved with a scholarship offer until very late, and Aaron Henry also exploded in the month of July and got all sorts of late high-major Division I offers. He really had been primarily recruited and offered by mid-major schools until he got to July. That's when his recruiting really expanded because of how good his play was. Michigan State was able to get him late. The other notable player in the top 200, Eric Hunter of Indianapolis Tinley. He went to Purdue. You're really not going to get Rob Phinisee and Eric Hunter probably at the same place in the same recruiting class. So that makes a lot of sense there. Their 2019 class, Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, Armand Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral. They are two that Indiana got in their 2019 class that are entering their freshman year now. The big miss was Keon Brooks of La Lemire, who started at Fort Wayne North. Obviously, there was a deep connection there with Brooks and former assistant coach Ed Schilling, and Ed Schilling no longer with the Indiana program as of a month and a half or so ago. But Brooks is the big one, not just in the 2019 class, but in the overall picture of recruiting since Archie Miller's been there. That's the big one from in-state with long connections to Indiana, lots of coaching connections to Indiana that the Hoosiers didn't land. The other 2019 Indiana guy in the top 200 nationally, Brandon Newman of Valparaiso, and Indiana recruited him somewhat, but he made a commitment fairly early in the recruiting process for him that he would go to Purdue. 2020 class, Indiana's off to a good start. They've got Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, who are thought to be probably the two better players in that class as far as the Mr. Basketball race goes. In the 2020 class, you have DeAndre Davis of Lawrence Central committed to Nebraska. You've got Jaden Ivey of La Lemire committed to Purdue. You've got Kyron Powell of Evansville-Ballsy, who last week committed to Houston. And you've got Nigel Pack of Lawrence Central, who committed to Kansas State earlier in the summer. If you look at that class outside of Leland Galloway, Davis, Ivey, Powell, maybe very little interest from Indiana. There obviously was some contact made earlier in their high school careers. Nigel Pack, he came on really strong over the spring. I think Indiana watched him a number of times, especially going back to the live period in the spring. But really, when you think about guys that Indiana has really put the full court press on and recruited for a number of years, the only big miss, Keon Brooks Jr., from Fort Wayne. Also, this is an interesting note, and this is how Alex closes his article. In Tom Crean's final three classes, recruiting classes at Indiana, the Hoosiers did not land a single player from the state that was ranked in the top 200 of this same 24 composite player rankings for the three earlier classes. That is just unbelievable. Crean landed two of the 26 players in his final five recruiting classes. Crean landed two of the 26 players were in the top 200 ratings from the state of Indiana. Those were Devin Davis in 2013 and James Blackman Jr. in 2014, really the last two in-state guys that were in the top 200 in the country if you go off the top 25, or the top 200, I should say, composite that 247 Sports puts together using all of the big national player rankings. So interesting, obviously lots of improvement there for Indiana as Archie Miller enters the next year of his tenure at IU. We'll see if more players from the state of Indiana, we'll see if another year of experience for some of the returning guys works out, and if Indiana can make some improvements. Obviously, they have in recruiting. Their message has been good. They've been able to get players, even despite not making the NCAA tournament. But I think everybody in agreement now that it's time to take some of these in-state products, mix them with some others, maybe now that you've got some experienced guys, and find even more success on the floor. So this is going to be a big year. Obviously, that goes without saying for a number of reasons for Archie Miller, but a big year 2019-2020 season on tap. Now that we've kind of covered all the recruiting in the 2020 class today with the addition of Anthony Leal, a lot of people would tell you, including folks I asked last week on this program, that Matt Cross from up in the Boston area, he could be the next addition and the first out-of-state addition to the 2020 class of players, current seniors in high school for Indiana. He's got a strong interest in Indiana. There's thoughts that he'll take another visit to Indiana. But over the weekend, it was announced that 2020 wing forward Jordan Geronimo is going to visit Indiana, take an official visit on August 30th, that weekend coming up. Also in the month of September, he's going to take official visits to Georgia, which of course is where Tom Crean is at, and Boston College as well. So maybe Matt Cross could be the next Hoosier added to the 2020 class, but Jordan Geronimo obviously with a serious interest in Indiana as he's got an official visit set for later this month. Keep in mind, Jeff Rabjohn's told us a lot about Geronimo. He had just a terrific, terrific Peach Jam, a terrific July, and his stock is way higher after July than it was going into the month of July as well. So he's going to visit Indiana coming up later this month. Maybe he will be the next IU target, recruiting target, to make a decision, although a lot of people think Matt Cross could be next on the list for IU. Also, some Romeo Langford nuggets. A lot of people say, hey, have you got your Romeo Langford basketball trading card yet? No, I haven't, but there are a couple out. Panini, who has the rights now, through the companies they own with the NBA and the NBA Players Association to make basketball cards these days. They've had two instant cards, which are cards that you order online. I don't believe they're part of any packs. Like, remember, you used to open the packs and you'd look for your favorite player or for the inserts. I don't think these cards come in those type of packs when the season cards get here, although obviously there will be lots of rookie cards that come out that way. But the first two I'm aware of, one was a draft night card, and I think you could buy it for $9.99 on the Panini site. And then just over the weekend, Romeo retweeting or giving a link out to another Panini instant card that is his rookie card. I guess you could call it his first official rookie card. He's wearing his Boston green uniform with 45 across the chest. And so if you want to get Romeo's second card, official NBA card, I know some people were making cards of him back when he was in high school unofficially. But if you want to get his first official card, the draft night card or the rookie card, you can find those on Romeo's Twitter feed or on the Panini website by clicking on instant. Also, the Boston Celtics have been doing some preseason PR now that the team is back from Vegas and the summer league activities. There were a series of pictures with the rookie class yesterday. One of them, they were carrying Romeo Langford. They had him laying horizontally across their arms, and then there were some other pretty neat photos of him jumping and having a ball and just doing different things. So again, Romeo's career in Boston is well underway, taking care of some of the early PR stuff that you've got to do, and of course having things like having a basketball card made kind of makes you know for sure that we got a guy locally that is in the NBA. So some stuff up there with Romeo, nothing on the court yet. I did mention last week that the preseason games, the schedule came out for the Celtics for their preseason contest, and their first game October 6th is going to be a home game. That's when they'll take on the Charlotte Hornets at the TD Garden in Boston. They'll play preseason games on the 6th, the 11th, the 13th, and the 15th. So we're, I guess, what, a month and a half away, or just about a month and 2 months or so away from the start of, we think, getting ready to see Romeo Langford for the first time play in professional basketball since he couldn't make the summer league. Should be that October 6th game against Charlotte now that he's been cleared with the thumb injury back to normal, from what we know. All right, that's the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. With Zach, he's going to join us from IU football practice. So we'll talk some football because we are weeks away now, not only from the high school football season, but we are also weeks away from the college football season when Indiana will open up with Ball State in Indianapolis coming up later this month. Also, before we go to break, I promised an announcement today about our upcoming high school football coverage. And you remember last year, actually the last couple of years, we've really changed our format. I think people like it. We follow multiple games. We've got constant scores from other games. We always have a couple feature games, the rivalry-type games, the ones that we think will be the best and most competitive, where we can go back and forth and get play-by-play from multiple games, and this year will be no different. So we'll be telling you more about our coverage of high school football and what games we'll be focusing on and some of the neat things we want to do on Friday nights, and we're going to have a Kentuckiana kickoff show to preview everything. We're going to actually have coaches on that show this year. That's all stuff I'm going to tell you about coming up here over the next week and a half or so. But one thing I wanted to announce today, Sir Dan O's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, Robert Sherrill, who's been a lifelong Clark County resident and is a big supporter of high school and local sports here in Southern Indiana. He's been with us for Silver Creek Baseball. He's been with us for Silver Creek Little League. We just had the big Night of Champions show celebrating the Silver Creek Little League team before they went to the Great Lakes Regional up at his place. And Robert's place, Sir Dan O's, is also home to, I think, the best pizza in Southern Indiana. They have agreed and want to get involved with high school sports and the Big X. And each Monday on the show, starting with the start of high school football here in a few Fridays, we'll start the show off every Friday in the first segment with the Sir Dan O's Pizza Parlor Athlete of the Week. We'll be naming a key performer, whether it's normally a high school football standout, but could be from another fall sport as well. We'll be rotating it around the area to get a lot of recognition for kids. We'll also have some finalists, even if they don't win the actual award. We'll be recognizing some different performers from across Clark and Floyd counties. And this is something that Robert and Sir Dan O's very passionate about. You'll hear a lot about the Athlete of the Week each Monday on the program. It's going to be announced live, again, right here on the Hoosier Report in the Hoosier Headlines segment. And then later in the day on Monday, there will actually be a recorded Athlete of the Week commercial or spot that will run between now and the next Monday that will recognize that athlete, that school, and what they did to win the award on the field, or maybe even off the field as well, with their accomplishments, all made possible by Sir Dan O. So whoever wins that award, they're going to get a lot of recognition on this program, throughout the week, on our other programs with recorded promos throughout the week. They're going to be recognized on Friday nights during our football coverage live as well. And if that wasn't enough, Robert and Sir Dan O's have agreed that the winner each week is going to get a great Sir Dan O's pizza. You got to stop by the store to get it. But the winner, the Athlete of the Week each week, presented by Sir Dan O's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, again, will get a free pizza. And if you've ever had their pizza, you know it's good stuff. So the winner there will get recognized in a number of different ways, on social media, on the radio live, on the radio with some recorded commercials throughout the week, in our live high school football programming. It's going to be a big deal. These athletes will really be recognized, we think, in a number of different ways. And we look forward to getting that started. I guess it would be coming up 2 weeks from today with the start of the high school football season. So if you're out and about and you're stopping by the Sir Dan O's lunch buffet soon, or you see Robert Sherrill or anyone else associated with Sir Dan O's, thank them, because you're going to be hearing their name a lot here on the Big X, thanks to their support of the Sir Dan O's Athlete of the Week here on the Hoosier Report and the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU football, IU basketball, and more after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us always on Mondays. We talk IU basketball, IU football, and more. And Zach, if I'm right, you're at IU football open practice again today on this Monday, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
So lots of football for you as the season draws near, and we're going to talk about that season coming up as there goes the warning siren as they switch activity, switch drills at practice, which make us feel like we're right there. Last week we got to hear Coach Allen on the bullhorn shouting some instructions. But I got to start with basketball, Zach, because IU has another commitment in the 2020 class in Anthony Leal, who made it official on social media Friday evening for the Hoosiers. The in-state recruiting continues to go very well. Trey Galloway followed by Anthony Leal in the 2020 class, and I don't think anyone's terribly surprised that Anthony Leal joined the fold with his verbal commitment on Friday. But nonetheless, Archie Miller continues with great players like Romeo Langford that are McDonald's All-Americans and highly ranked, to the players in the state that are ranked and are getting other Big Ten attention that you want to keep here. Across those realms, he's had great success so far, as we've talked about.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've said many times, I don't think Indiana needs to just exclusively recruit in-state players, needs to just exclusively recruit players from, you know, the Big Ten footprint. And you've certainly seen Indiana, you know, in Missouri trying to recruit Caleb Love, out in New England trying to recruit Matt Cross. We can, you know, go through the target list in 2020 elsewhere. But I think it's always going to be a sign of the health of your program and certainly the health of your sort of recruiting approach when you are starting with or at least maintaining strong attachment to in-state and regional sort of recruiting pipelines. And you mentioned Romeo Langford there, Trace Jackson Davis. You know, we could go down the list, Robert Finnessy and so on and so on. You know, between Langford and Jackson Davis, that's the first time Indiana's had back-to-back Mr. Basketball winners since, I think, Luke Recker and Tom Coverdale. Indiana's never had three straight Mr. Basketball winners, now obviously has two pretty strong candidates for that award again in 2020, and we'll see, but you know, could wind up winning or signing three straight Mr. Basketball winners for the first time in program history. And again, it's more just as long as your message, I think, is resonating in state, and as long as you, as what you are sort of selling and the way that you're approaching recruiting the players in your own backyard, for lack of a less cliche term, as long as that continues to resonate with, as you said, guys at the top end of your class, you know, you look at recruiting rankings and things, guys ranked top three in the state, top five in the state, and so on. I think you're always going to feel good about what that means and where your program is. And I think for Archie Miller in particular, it's pretty clear that Archie has wanted that since day one to be kind of the backbone of his roster, is not necessarily just in-state kids, but saying, you know, we're going to start at home, we're going to branch out to the Big Ten footprint, and then if we need to go further than that, we'll go further than that, but we're going to start here and work our way out. And I think in Galloway and Leal, you get two very different players, although I think they're both classified as shooting guards. I think they make sense for Indiana for different reasons, and we can come on to talk about that. But I think as much as anything else, even as obviously Archie Miller hasn't quite turned things around all the way on the court, it suggests a level of health about his program and the way that recruits are seeing it, and that's always kind of got to be step one.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with great stuff on IU recruiting and the commitment of Anthony Leal on Friday. I guess, you know, and Anthony had to be somewhat guarded because he was respectful of the other coaches, including Stanford, when he got down to the final two. But reading his announcement on social media and some of the quotes that he's told you and others, playing at Indiana was, it seems like, a childhood dream for him. It's not something that necessarily just developed over the last couple years as the recruiting process started, and almost as if this is something that he's thought about for a long while as a young basketball player in the Bloomington community.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would surprise many people, and while I don't think that, you know, as you said, Leal's been guarded through this whole process in terms of not wanting to, in terms of, I guess, wanting to keep his business to himself, you know, wanting to keep it a more private process, he's also not lied or obfuscated or whatever about the way that he sees Indiana and the way that they're playing music, so I'm going to step outside now.
No problem. But
the way that he has felt about Indiana from a young age, as somebody who grew up in Bloomington, grew up around IU basketball, you know, he's never attempted to downplay that either or hide any of that either, and so I think it did feel very genuine when he said, listen, this is just something I've dreamed about, you know, pretty much my whole life. And I think that you'd probably find someone similar say something if they grew up in, you know, Raleigh about North Carolina, or, you know, Durham about Duke, or Lawrence about Kansas, and so on and so on. I don't think it's a surprise, but I think it is definitely, you know, part of the appeal of Indiana for Anthony Leal that, you know, this is probably at some level what he's always been, you know, what he's always kind of dreamed of.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach is at IU football practice now and joins us Mondays on the program to talk all things IU sports. We've talked about this before, including leading up to the Leal decision, but obviously Galloway and Leal, the key in-state guys for this 2020 class for IU. Where does Indiana turn from here from a recruiting perspective? A lot of people have answered that question with Matt Cross from up east, who is serious about Indiana, who people think Indiana is going to be one of his finalists and ultimately maybe where he will come. But then this morning I see that Jordan Geronimo, who had just an unbelievable summer and really increased his offers in standing as far as with Division I, high major Division I programs, he has an official visit set to Indiana for later this month. So it looks like the next edition, and we assume that there will be more in this class of 2020, will probably not be an in-state player. It very, very, very likely will be somebody from out of state, whether it be Matt Cross, whether it be Jordan Geronimo, or someone else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair to assume at this point. Galloway and Leal seem to be the two in-state guys in this class Indiana was pursuing hardest. And, you know, to I guess answer the question more broadly than any one name, I think where Indiana turns next is to kind of the fall calendar. And I know we've talked before about just recruiting and the way that it works and the way it moves. And I know fans who follow it closely will know this. But, you know, you talk about Jordan Geronimo there, a guy from New England as well. I think he plays for Mass Rivals, the same AAU program that sent Noah Vonleh to Indiana. You know, what you're talking about now, if you're IU, is getting into the fall official visit season. You know, guys like Galloway and Leal, they'd already visited Indiana. Obviously, I mean, Leal, again, he grew up in Bloomington, so I think that in some ways the visit was probably a little bit superfluous. But what you're getting into now is more that process that we talked about through July, where everybody's going to kind of focus on their own thing in July. The coaches are going to be out recruiting. The players are going to be focusing on what's on the floor, getting better and pressing and, you know, kind of turning as many heads as they can. And then also keeping an eye on, hey, who's in touch? Who's watching me the most? Who's most interested in me? And then trying to cross those lists. So, you know, who do I really like that also seems to like me? All right, these seem to be the schools that I should really kind of take in to the final months of my recruiting process. And I think what you're going to have now is Indiana in a situation. I know Cross has already visited, although I believe he can again. Is basically getting into hosting some of these guys on official visits and getting into the fall, thinking about Hoosier Hysteria, thinking about which football weekends, if not Hoosier Hysteria, they want to have guys on campus, you know, thinking about potentially syncing up visits with the current commits and guys that they really want to kind of get sold on the program so that you can get players doing some of that kind of player-to-player recruiting that I think coaches all find very, very effective. And then it's just a question of when guys want to narrow, you know, when guys want to set their own timeline and narrow down their own lists and say, okay, I want to take X number of visits and then I'll decide on this day, or do I want to have it done before the start of my senior year of high school, all those different kinds of things. I think where Indiana is now is transitioning more to that fall visit schedule and starting to try to get a feel for where the guys that it wants to visit, the guys that it's confirmed for visits, the guys that it has kind of, you know, either elected or promised to bring in, when, you know, what the schedule is going to look like for those guys as they get in deeper into the fall.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU recruiting to start things. Before we get to some football, Hoosier Hysteria, that date was made official by IU Athletics late last week. We now know when the annual event to kind of kick off the season will happen, and we know it's going to have great recruiting flavor to it. It obviously is a huge opportunity for Indiana to showcase its fans, its facilities, its program as a whole, and obviously we're drawing nearer to the season when that event gets here. Fun stuff. Now that we know the date, we can start to get all the details. October 5th is when it will be held, and before you know it, after that, it'll be into basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's cliche to say this in some ways, but I mean, it is when all of this kind of starts. It is when I think the fan base really starts to shift from off-season mode into the season. You know, by the time we get to Hoosier Hysteria, we'll know Indiana's schedule for the year in terms of dates, times, not just the opponents we know. You know, I think, I believe, if I remember my dates correctly, Big Ten Basketball Media Day is going to be in the week leading up to that. I'm not positive about that. I'd have to go back and check. But we'll have gone through that by that point, so we'll already have an idea of what the conference kind of thinks of itself from a media perspective. Who are the favorites? Who are the dark horses? You know, what do people think of just kind of the Big Ten coming out of the long summer slumber? And I think, you know, from there, it's probably just, at least from my perspective, going to feel like a little bit of a sprint to the season, which then, and of course, itself feels a little bit like a sprint from November to March.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us talking IU basketball and, of course, the addition of Anthony Leal to start the segment today. But I got to get into some football because the season is fast approaching with Ball State game set for noon on August 31st, Saturday. Coming up later this month, it'll be played in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. And, of course, Zach is once again this week at IU football practice. It's an open practice today with Coach Allen and the team as he joins us live here on the radio. What's the development from last week to this week? What are some things you continue to maybe have some excitement for when you look at different angles and areas of this IU team that intrigue you for the upcoming season with the tough Big Ten schedule they're always dealt and the full schedule they have in front of them as they try to get bowl eligible and perhaps win a game or two more than what they've been able to for a number of years? As you've seen more, what's the thought? What stands out?
Well, I think some of it's the stuff you'd expect. The quarterback situation kind of continues to develop. It seems like we're seeing a lot of Peyton Ramsey and Michael Penix splitting those first-team reps right now. And, you know, it's worth pointing out that the media are allowed into two or three practices a week, but that means there's also plenty of practice time that's happening that we're not seeing. And I don't think that Tom Allen would, you know, spend an entire practice sort of throwing up false flags or obfuscating just to try and throw the media off it, you know, the scent. But there's more than just what we can see. But it does seem like those two guys, Penix and Ramsey, are splitting a lot of those first and second team reps up at quarterback. It's interesting to me, at least from what I've seen, it feels like we're seeing less of Stevie Scott in the backfield for Indiana. And I think that's probably by design. It was similar in the spring, where Tom Allen's message was basically just kind of like, I know what Stevie Scott can do. I know what I've got in Stevie Scott. I don't need to add a whole bunch of carries and a whole bunch of hits and a whole bunch of physical pounding, you know, to Stevie Scott's resume. He's already proven himself. What I'm going to be looking for is the depth behind him, the depth around him, guys that can push him and also guys that can perform when he needs a break, such that Indiana's run game can be a lot healthier across the board. And I think you've seen a lot of Cole Guest, a lot of Ronnie Walker, who I think has looked good, the freshman. Well, I think he's a redshirt freshman. I think he only appeared in four games last year from Virginia. And then Samson James, the early enrollee, true freshman from Avon. Those three guys, I think, are the guys that Indiana is really going to be looking to provide depth behind Stevie Scott. And then just the development of the lines. You know, it seems like Mark Hagan is getting more comfortable with his rotations. He's always been a coach, a defensive line coach in Indiana that plays a lot of guys. You know, you're always going to have your starting four, your two ends and your two tackles, but Hagan's never been shy about rotating a lot in those positions, and I think that's probably the way that everybody kind of does it now, because hurry-up offenses gas those big guys faster than anything else, and you got to make sure that they're fresh going into the late third and fourth quarters. You know, guys like Juan Harris and Jerome Johnson, I think, are probably going to be the front of the line there at defensive tackle. Still trying to figure out maybe who, you know, the pecking order at defensive end, but again, I think in that defensive line, it's really just about making sure that you're comfortable with the whole rotation. And I think Indiana maybe is getting there a little bit more based on some of the scrimmage periods that we've seen. And then you also just say, who can provide that depth on offensive line? I think that front five is probably pretty set with Kronk, Kreider, Little John Stepanek, and Caleb Jones at right tackle. But, you know, what are you going to get out of Andre Love? You know, what are you going to get out of guys like Britt Beery and Matthew Bedford, the true freshman, who I think right now is probably your number two left tackle? Just how much depth can you rely on from some of those guys, such that, again, you're not counting on your first-team offensive line too much too early in the season?
Talking with Zach Osterman, IU football, the subject, Ball State, the opening opponent. Great to see IU open with an in-state school, and it's going to be pretty cool that the game will be played at Lucas Oil Stadium. Any early known items, known facts about this in-state football program at Ball State, who Indiana's going to open up with?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things that really jumped off the page to me when I was looking at them in the preseason, and shouldn't be surprising, but they lose Riley Neal and James Gilbert, both players graduate transferred away, leading passer. In fact, Neal, I think, left in the top five in a whole bunch of career categories at Ball State. I want to say he transferred to Vanderbilt. And then James Gilbert, a player from Arsenal Tech, that just one of the better running backs that the state of Indiana has produced in the last few years. Again, a guy who left with his name already stuck in some top fives and some top tens from a career rushing perspective. I believe he went to Kansas State. And so if you're Ball State, you got to replace those two guys, and that's going to be tough for a team that obviously, you know, lost more games than it won last year. I think this is year four under Mike New, the head coach at Ball State. I think there's a feeling that you know, on the one hand, I think there very much is a sort of a message that a corner has been turned within the program from a culture perspective. On the other hand, you probably at this point in News tenure would expect that a corner needs to be turned. And the thing with Ball State that I always say is it's the program that when IU or Purdue plays them, you're going to get their best, because that's a roster stocked with guys from in-state and stocked with guys who maybe would have hoped for an IU or a Purdue offer. And or maybe a Kentucky or, you know, a Cincinnati, and it just didn't quite come down. I mean, you think about the number of players, you know, just at Indiana, for example, that have flipped Ball State commits in the last few years, talking about Peyton Hendershot, Jayshon Harris, you know, guys right there on that kind of on that dividing line that wind up falling toward Ball State. They're going to that game's going to be big in their minds. And that game, especially at Lucas Oil Stadium, they're technically the home team. That game's going to mean a lot to them. And I think if you're Indiana, you know, the last time you went into this game, they played Ball State and Lucas Oil in 2011. Indiana got upset. Indiana lost, I think, 24-21 or 28-21. I don't remember the final score off the top of my head. But if you're Indiana, this is a game you've got to be real careful. You've got to be real sharp for. Because the other thing is, as we talked about before, there's really no margin for error in Indiana's non-conference schedule this year. They should be favored in all three of those games. Ball State, UConn, and Eastern Illinois, and they really need to win all three.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays. Great stuff, Zach. Get back to practice. We'll read more of your coverage, I'm sure, later this week on the indystar.com/sports. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. To a quick commercial break we go. We're back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and also IHSAA executive board member. High school football is coming. We'll talk about that next. We'll talk more Anthony Leal coming up here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He's always with us Mondays as we talk some local sports. And it's a great time to do that, Chad. High school football season is almost here. Most, I think, if not every area school has a scrimmage this Friday coming up. And then, of course, Friday night lights officially begin in a big way, including at Charlestown. I like it. Battle of 403 is what they're calling the Charlestown Silver Creek opener here in a couple weeks. Two rivals just down Highway 403 from each other. And the football season, Chad, it's going to kick off in a big way for you guys in that rivalry game, but it is almost here.
Matt, first off, went to Honey Baked Ham last week. Excellent. But I forgot to mention the Hoosier Report. Can I get $2 credit next time I go?
For you, okay. Absolutely, Chad.
I just wanted to make sure we're good on that one. The other thing, exciting news. Your exciting news about the football. Robert Sherrill, a Charlestown graduate, a great guy. You know, Robert always been good to me, even when I was a little kid. But he's always been good to Charlestown. So excited that he's involved with Cernadanos and excited he's involved with the programs in Southern Indiana because he's a great supporter to our sports throughout all of Southern Indiana. And then finally, like you talked about, the Battle of 403. It's going to be huge. You know, the bad thing, I wish Charlestown was hosting because I like to have that big gate. But when you start it off right out the bat, Matt, you're going to have two good teams. And a huge rival. But, you know, we have Marion Lukes, who's going to be someone that going to be a force to be reckoned with all season long. Marion can do a lot of different things, Matt, and look for a big-time performance from him next Friday.
Absolutely. Talking with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's AD, and an IHSA executive board member. High school football, you know, it's here. It's almost here. Thankfully, high school sports back in season. I know the fall time is a busy one. We had all the coaches at Zaxby's last week, including your head coach from Charlestown, Jason Hawkins. It was great to hear. I didn't even realize this when the schedule was put together, but back-to-back we got to hear from the Silver Creek coach, new coach, and players, Coach Pappenhaus, and we got to then hear from Coach Hawkins and some of his players as well. And I could really sense, I mean, there was obviously very friendly, professional, no question about it, and obviously some deep history there between all those kids and coaches. But you could really sense the rivalry and that the kids are really taking this serious, and that's kind of a reminder to me how many great rivalries we are treated to here in our immediate area of Clark and Floyd County. Some very historic that have been around for years and years, and others like the Charlestown-Silver Creek rivalry. It's been a rivalry in other sports, but this football thing is really intensified with the return, obviously, of football at Silver Creek and how quickly they've put together a formidable program. So definitely a big way to kick it off, and some great rivalries, not just that game, but throughout the season set in football.
Well, you know, Matt, first of all, what you guys did at Zaxby's, you know, another guy who gives a lot to our events, a lot of sports in Southern Indiana, is Jerry Ayers at Zaxby's. But what you guys did over there with the Evening News is remarkable. You know, I looked, and there's lots of big guys coaching. Who ate the most wings? You know, some of those guys may have put Jerry out of business because there's a lot of big guys coaching on it. It looks like they could put away some wings. But there's lots of new faces out there, and I know they're all excited. But you talk about that rivalry we had in this. If you remember, probably 5 years ago, Coach Hawkins left Charlestown for 1 year to go to Silver Creek. And you want to talk about an intense rivalry. And we played them at Charlestown that year. And Larry Rickmer, who's the long-time Silver Creek AD, he says the biggest crowd I've ever seen a football game. We had a $12,000 gate that night, Matt, which is unheard of. And it was that rivalry of Silver Creek with the "we got your coach, we're coming to beat you," and Charlestown with "we're wanting to beat Coach Hawkins." We had Darren Ward coaching at that time, who's one of the greatest coaches, you know, best coaches in the state, going against Coach Hawkins, who, again, is one of the best coaches in the state. And those guys, you know, it really was amped up that night. And the same thing, you know, is going to happen this year because Coach Pappenhaus was in the building here last year. You know, he taught at Charlestown High School. He's been on Coach Hawkins' staff and an outstanding guy, just like Coach Hawkins is, just like Coach Ward was. And there won't be any tenseness against those guys. They're going to want their buddies to succeed every night except when they play each other. And I think Charlestown's going to want to put on a good showing, and I know Silver Creek will as well.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Let's talk about Anthony Leal. Lots of talk about him today. Of course, he's IU's latest and newest addition in the 2020 class, verbally committed now to the Hoosiers as of Friday evening. You've had a chance to see him, Chad. You've obviously got lots of responsibilities during the season with Charlestown Athletics, but sometime in the tournament, when it comes time for a big regional or semi-state weekend game, Chad Gilbert's been known to slide in and sit a couple rows behind the benches and keep in tune with what the coaches are up to in high school basketball. And some of those opportunities have allowed you the chance to see Anthony Leal up close and personal. Any thoughts from a former player, a former coach, on what you've seen from him and what type of pickup he is for IU?
Well, the one time, what I noticed him the most, of course, Neil Coyle was my roommate at USI. His son, Chance, South's all-time leading scorer. I always tried to catch their games anytime I could. And Leo always stood out. And I tell you what stood out with him, his ability to shoot the ball. You know, you always see shooters, and when it comes off his hand, it comes off slick every time. You know, it's one of those shots, and when he misses, you think, how did it miss? But what stood out most was his athleticism. Very, very underrated athlete. Anthony Leo will go up and dunk on you chest to chest. He has a complete game that I think will help Indiana not only with their guard play, but with their athleticism as well.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA executive board member. I think you answered this, and we got to go here in just a second, but busiest time of the year for an AD. Is it the fall, or is it basketball season, winter sports?
No question it's the fall, because it's everything starting up. You're getting physicals come in. You're double-checking schedules. You've got transportation issues coming on. You've got transfers coming in. Everything at the start, coupled with the fall, has the most sports. You've got boys and girls soccer, football, golf, tennis, you know, all the way down the line of volleyball, of things that are going on. So there's something going on every night, and it's crammed in hard in the 9 weeks of the fall. Definitely the busiest.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, sorry we didn't have longer today, but I'll make up for it next week. And I'll bring you some honey vet ham this week. So
that sounds good. Amy's keeping clock at home, so we'll know how much exactly time I was on the air.
Absolutely, Chad Gilbert. Chad, thank you. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week with a couple little more time for you.
Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you.
All right. That'll wrap it up for this Monday program. Back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, and more on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.